What's that?
Do you clap? I'll talk to you later.
Okay, perfect. Okay, in our book, we're in chapter 19, page 245. Chapter 19, page 245. Carol, you want to pray for us?
Sure.
Oh, there's so much trouble.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, for the body of believers that we have here, and the community we have, and we pray for guidance from the Holy Spirit to teach us the things that you would have us teach through Jesse. And we thank you for that time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't remember if I told you guys this last week or not, but in the book, when you come to sections of scripture that he references, look those sections up and read them. Okay? Look those sections up and read them. Julie, did you lose something?
I was looking for the Kleenex.
Ah.
Right here. Oh, thank you.
Okay. That's going to help us, right? Because what we're noticing and what we'll notice, just like pretty much anywhere in the Bible, when we try and do things chronological, okay, we notice that it's not laid out chronological in the Bible. Now, one thing I could have done, I didn't think about, is look at like the years between Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, same vision, displayed a little different. One vision was given to King Nebuchadnezzar, the other was given to Daniel. Right? And Daniel couldn't even interpret it. He had to ask for someone else's help in Daniel 7. I don't know the years in between that, but it's not chronological, is what I'm trying to get at, right? So it's going to help our mindset when we're reading these. The author has put these sections of scripture in chronological order, right? That's how our brains work. The Bible's not laid out that way. So it's good for us to get used to, whether it's on your tablet or your phone or your actual physical Bible, to go ahead and look these sections of scripture up to get your mind used to, hey, right after the rapture, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Ezekiel 38. That's gonna help all of us, okay? It's gonna help all of us. Does that kind of make sense what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So, we didn't cover any of this, you can kind of see, we're pretty much cutting the book in half. This book, overall, is not a book that you're going to sit down and read cover to cover,
yeah.
Right? This is something that's for massive research. This is a research book, just like your concordance, just like your treasury of scripture knowledge, just like maybe a commentary. This is a research book. It's not like our restored book. You can sit down and read. It's written in a way for pretty much right away behavioral change. This is a lot of information. This is a studious book. Okay? So you're not going to memorize this book. What you can memorize are timelines. Okay? I know you can because I have done that. And you can kind of put big chunks of events in each timeline. Does that make sense? You guys can put big chunks of events in each timeline. Any questions before we get started? Go ahead, Jim.
So early in the paragraph on 245, it says the Western Confederacy led by the Antichrist, but I didn't see anything indicating that it was the West there in Scripture. I just missed that. Because the verse he references doesn't say anything about the West.
All right, so we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Okay, we'll go ahead and go there. All right, 245, at the top. After the three unique events in heaven that involved the church of Jesus Christ, the rapture and judgment seat, and the marriage of the Lamb, biblical prophecy turns to earth and the events unfolding there. Okay, so the previous main events that he covers in the book that we did not go over is the rapture, judgment seat of Christ, and the marriage of the Lamb. Okay, those are the three that he covers previous. What we want to focus on, we're going to do about a six-month study. Yeah, 6 months. 6-month study, 21 weeks. will end this study probably the third or fourth week of July. So third or fourth week of July will be done, and we're going to really focus on after the rapture, what happens. Right? After the rapture, what happens?
Can I ask you a real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know how it said, the chapter said that the rapture, my brain's going numb. But the judgment and then the marriage, that all happens before Christ comes back to earth.
Oh, not the great white throne.
No, this is the Bema seat.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. That was throwing me in. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Good job. Okay, reuniting of the Roman Empire. The scriptures describe a world situation not unlike what we have today. As the great events of the end times commence, according to the Bible, the world will be divided into three main power blocks: the Western Confederacy, led by the Antichrist, Daniel 7:8; the Southern and Northern Coalition, comprised of Russia and a group of North African and Middle Eastern nations, Daniel 11, Ezekiel 38; and the Eastern Alliance, known as the Kings from the East, Revelation 16:12. The Western Confederate of the Nations will reconstitute the Roman Empire. So what the author is doing is West is going to be where Israel is, right? Israel's West. Now, like you said, Joe, it doesn't say West.
Okay.
Just geographically, it is West.
Right. And that was my other question about that specifically was West is relative in culture, and it's different now than it was then. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would consider West to be American culture and even European culture. But that's changing even now. Mm-hmm. So that was where my question was, is how do we tell what that's saying when it's pretty relative?
Yep. So in the context of the area, it'll go back to the Old Testament, what we'll see. And so Israel's west, Africa, southern nations, south, north will be like Turkey and up there, and then east will be like Russia and China coming over.
Okay.
Right?
Yep. All right, cool. Thank you.
Yep.
I was also... A lot of people would interpret this as saying, like, oh, the Western is America, and so America is the Antichrist. And, which maybe there's a case for that. I'm not arguing that there isn't, but that's not what it's saying. That's what I wanted to know.
That's why it's vital to read the scriptures that they give us. Because the scriptures that they'll give us will say nothing about America.
Right.
You can't misinterpret it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Jesse.
Yeah.
I had heard that when you're reading the Bible, that the west, north, south, and everything, it is always in relation to Israel. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
From what I understand, yes.
Okay.
So that's a presupposition that I have from what I've learned, but I'm open to having that changed if I see it changed. Yep. But as of right now, that's what I've learned, and when I've read it, that's what I read. But we'll always be open, right? So when you read Daniel 7, Daniel 11, Ezekiel 38, did anything stick out to you when you read those sections of scripture? How many of you actually read it? Raise your hand. I actually read these scriptures. Okay. If you did not read it, you're going to be confused. Okay. So what, I was talking with someone the other day, and it had to do with a different context and counseling, and I said, listen, this only works if you tell the truth. This only works if you tell the truth. If we're not going to tell the truth, we can lie, manipulate, tell stories, embellish, okay, and you're just going to keep repeating this cycle in your life. And if you're telling me you want your life to change, you have to tell the truth. Even if it exposes uncomfortable things, it's okay. It's only uncomfortable to you because of your perceived idea of what might be judged by you. And never true, usually. So, if you want to know end time, I say that to say, if you want to know end time stuff, you have to read the scriptures. This only works if you read the Bible on the sections of scripture it gives you, okay? So it's only going to work if you actually go there and read it. So don't be frustrated or upset. That same person that I was talking to, I said, okay, you're telling me you thought you were giving 100%. And based on the information you give me, it's actually really, really weak. It's actually really, really low. You gave really no effort. But it was a perceived effort that you thought was 100%, and it's actually really, really low. Now, that's okay. People come here all the time, every day. Now we recognize the effort you gave that you thought was really, really good is actually really, really poor, not good. That's okay. We have a measurement now. Now you know I got to get up here. Right? So I say that to say this. With our understanding or perceived understanding of end times might be down here. And the way that you have done end time study might be down here. You think it's up here, but it's not. It's down here. And that's okay, right? Nothing negative or bad. We have to be honest, right? How I've done things has got me where I'm at. I cannot do what I used to do because it got me down here. Which is okay, right? There's room for growth. There's nothing negative. I'm coming across maybe strong on my language, but I want to be graceful and kind on. That's okay. Just be honest on, hey, I don't know anything about it in times. That's why I'm spinning in circles where I'm grasping at straws and taking, what about this? What about that? Well, China, well, Russia, well, the internet, well, you're down here. And that's okay. We have to see now, I got to get up here. We have a different measuring stick now, okay? Which means I have got to read my Bible. I have got to get in there. This first time through, this first 6 months, you're not gonna have a grasp at all of it. You're not. And you understand that, right? You're not gonna grasp all of it. But it's gonna give you the skeletons and backbone to learn, okay, now I know how to research. Now I know where to go. Now the more and more I think about it and look into it and focus on it, the more and more I will see. All of us, the first time we've gone through something, have never learned it all. Never. It takes time, right? The three biggest things, right? Time, volume, and skill. Time, volume, skill. So our first time through this for 6 months sounds like a long time. But we're only going to be on one topic every week. Every Sunday, we're moving on. Every Sunday is a new chapter in the book, okay? So, you have the book now. It's yours. And now you know, hey, I have a question on the 3.5-year tribulation. I know where to go to look that up. I know where to go. And as you read the book and as you get into your Bible again and get to in Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Joel and all that stuff, and you start going back, you go, oh, I remember now. Well, I remember now. Okay? Sound good? All right. So we see, according to Scripture, the last paragraph there, 10 leaders will ally together to protect the interests of the West. This group of 10, now whenever they insert something, it's their insertion. It's the author saying it could be. We have to understand, before I move on, that this stuff could have happened at any time the last 2,000 years. Okay? It did not need the G20. Did not need the G7, G8. Did not need that. Did not need the European Union. Okay? If you remember that. These things are written as if it could have been done 2,000 years ago. So don't get stuck on, oh, the EU, oh, the G20, the G8, the G7. Don't get stuck on that. That means nothing. Okay, he's just giving an example of what it could look like. Now, 500 years ago, it didn't exist, did it? But these things could have still come to pass. The Bible, God does not need a G7, G8, G20 to go. Go ahead.
Something that helps me think about this stuff is to remember that most things, especially in the Bible, can be fractal. And so there can be appearances of antichrists as time goes on, but not the antichrist. And the same is true in stuff like this. There can be councils of 10 that aren't the council of 10.
Yep. And we'll get to the Antichrist next week. And we'll look at a huge, awesome part of that. So good job. Okay, so it could be, this group of 10 could look something like the G7 or G8, G20 forums that have been established among the nations. In Daniel 2, 42 through 44, the group of 10 is symbolized as 10 toes on a great statue, and in Daniel 7:7 and 7:24, by 10 horns on a beast that represents the last world empire, the Roman Empire in its final form. Many interpreters of Bible prophecy believe that the European Union could be the embryonic form of what Scripture predicts and could ultimately fulfill this predicted alliance of nations. How the European Union relates to this 10-leader group is uncertain, but it appears to be a picture of similar to what the Bible predicts. Whatever the case, this Western power bloc will embody the revived Roman Empire and will have the economic and political power needed to control the Mediterranean region. Its final leader, the Antichrist, will eventually wrest control from the three of the 10 leaders and consolidate power very much like the Roman Empire did in the past, Daniel 7:8. To help us understand the biblical basis of this future empire, let's pause for a moment and look back to the ancient prophecies that foretell a future Roman Empire. And that's very important, right? Again, when these prophecies are being said, it's to the nation of Israel, for the nation of Israel, to fulfill promises made to the nation of Israel. We have to understand that. Okay? Now, this sounds basic to us, but sometimes what can happen is we listen to something on YouTube or a TV station or a radio station, and they're saying things that sound good, but it contradicts a literal interpretation of the Bible. So we can be ignorantly deceived, not in a bad, you know, it's worse ignorant, and go, wow, that makes sense. People, for thousands of years, have done a good job on making things that aren't true make sense. Right? They're called salesmen. They're called salesmen, right? And they're really good at their job. They're really good, okay? Some people actually believe it themselves. They're ignorantly deceived, and they have a passion about it so much that they're ignorantly teaching certain things, right? So again, it's not false teaching, in a sense, isn't always from an evil, motivated heart. They're blinded. They're ignorantly deceived. That's why I hesitate to call them false teachers, because in the Bible, a false teacher is a little, it's portrayed as different than someone who is just ignorant, right? A good, ignorant Bible teacher in the Bible would be Apollos. He was teaching John the Baptist teaching, right? And this was years after John the Baptist had died, and the gospel was being presented, and they said, hey, have you heard about Christ and the resurrection? He goes, no, tell me about it. And so they tell him about it. Make sense? All right. Any questions so far?
Yeah, I got a question.
Yeah.
So it refers to this Roman Empire, but I've never seen that in Scripture. I've seen Babylon, and I've seen Babylon in Revelation. Mm-hmm. So is it saying that the Roman Empire and the Babylon Empire are the same, and he's just using the term Roman Empire there?
So we'll get to that here in probably 5-6 weeks. But to help answer the question, Babylon is like the economic power, and Rome is like the religious world power.
Okay, yeah. So they're the same thing, but two different lenses of looking at it? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Actually, I don't think that last statement was right. But we'll get into it in 5 weeks, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go together.
You can inform me later.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. How many of you have ever heard of a Bible sermon out of Daniel 2 that you can remember? I've heard several. And it was never on the context of Daniel 2. All right, so in Daniel 2, those of you that read it, what's happening? What's happening in Daniel 2? Yeah, pieces, right? You're talking about the pieces.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Daniel and his comrades were praying and dealing with the Lord that the king's dreams would be revealed to them so that they may interpret, which is what Daniel did. He gave all the glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything else in Daniel 2 that you read? Specifically in context to, yes, the end time study part, nothing else.
Daniel interprets it.
Daniel interprets it. Mm-hmm.
Parts of the statue in the dream represented the strengths of different nations.
Excellent. Yep, that's where we get Rome coming in. Yep, so each part of it represents a different nation that controls. And throughout history, that's what we see. We see different nations controlling. All right, let's go to Daniel 7. Daniel 7. Those of you that read Daniel 7, what did you notice in here? Yep, good.
Pastor, I wonder why they used, I can't get my brain around these visions, you know. Because then Daniel comes in and tells what they mean. Why was it more simple for us, you know, without, why do we have the leopard and the wings, and, you know, all the things there?
Why is it symbolic?
Yeah. Why?
Yeah, so more symbolic teaching was done back then, and they would understand it more.
Would they understand?
Yeah, they would understand.
See, this is why I told you the other night that I just have skipped Daniel out of my, you know, my studying or anything, because I think, why? Why did they use these symbols that I just cannot get my mind around? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their teaching was more symbolic. And they use animals. If you read a lot of Psalm, David uses a lot of symbology in the book of Psalm.
But these aren't just straight animals. Was it the leopard that had the wings, mm-hmm. and, you know, the different? That's what I didn't understand.
Yep.
So it's not for me to understand.
Well, I think we can, because we're in retrospect after this has already happened. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, they make sense, like the leopard with the wings. That's Alexander the Great, who conquered the world in an astonishingly fast time period. So there are correlations.
Okay, so we need to learn those.
And the beast that's lopsided, that Medo-Persian Empire, one of them was, Persia was stronger than the Medes, so the beast is lopsided. Mm-hmm. So there's correlations in retrospect that we can see.
Yeah, I didn't want to read a commentary and get somebody else's. You know, like McGee, I usually just pull out McGee's books, you know, and read what he says. But I just wanted to look at it for myself, and I just couldn't figure out why the Lord just didn't tell us the meaning without all these symbols, you know. For me, I guess I just got stuck on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, like, where Daniel's written, you know, where are they at? Where is the nation of Israel at right now?
They're in exile.
Captivity.
Yeah, they're in captivity, right? They're in exile. Right? So it's interesting that God would give a heathen, a Gentile king, the vision. Right? Interesting, isn't it? To be interpreted. But it's giving the nation of Israel hope. Right? It's giving them hope. So these visions, what's happening here in exile, under captivity, is it's going to give the nation of Israel hope for deliverance. Okay, after 70 years, they start to see that hope kind of fulfilled. But, you know, a lot of these visions aren't going to come to pass. So when prophecy is fulfilled or looking forward to a prophecy coming true, it brings hope, right? It brings hope to people. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so when you guys read Daniel 7, anything stick out to you? Any language?
The four winds stuck out to me, and it reminded me of the principalities of the air, the prince of the air, mm-hmm. prince of the air. And I don't know if there's an actual connection here, but it just reminded me of that. Mm-hmm.
So what are some things that we can actually connect? What are some things that we can actually connect in the language?
Well, he talks about the Son of Man. In verse 13.
Yep.
We talk about the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm. Good. Language like the Ancient of Days.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming to pass, Ancient of Days. What else do we, what kind of language do we see?
What says the Saints of the Most High?
Saints of the Most High, yep, will prevail, right?
And we can see that a time will come when the saints will possess the kingdom.
Yes. Excellent. Good.
Everlasting kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Everlasting kingdom. And that is what, when Jesus came to the earth, this is very important. Because when it talks about the Son of Man or the Messiah coming and the King coming to set up an everlasting kingdom, when he came with the first advent, when Christ came first, this is what he was wanting to establish, right? Is this right here, this everlasting kingdom. Okay, we also see language like time, times, and a half time, so 3.5 years. A time is 1 year, times is 2 year and a half, so 3.5 years, right? And serve and obey him in that kingdom. At this point, the matter ended. My thoughts troubled me much. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Okay? So Daniel was given a great vision. He had to have someone else interpret it for him. So Daniel was used at one time to interpret a vision to the king. Daniel had a vision, had to ask someone else for help, and that person helped him interpret this dream. So let's look and see how the author compared Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. Okay, let's look and see, which is really good. Okay, so talks about the ABCs of prophecy. We'll look down to the graphs there, the metallic man of Daniel 2. We see a world empire, the description there. So Babylon, head of gold, Medo-Persia, chest and arms of silver, Greece, belly and thighs of brass, Rome is iron. Rome 2, the Antichrist kingdom, or that's his future, feet and 10 toes of iron and clay. Christ's kingdom is a stone kingdom that fills the earth. If you go over to the second that graph on page 247, we also see Babylon, the lion with the wings of an eagle. We see Medo-Persia, the leopards, a lopsided bear with 3 ribs in its mouth. Greece is a leopard with 4 wings and 4 heads. Rome, terrible beast with teeth of iron and clays of bronze. And again, the next Rome is going to have 10 horns and a little horn. So, when we look throughout history and see these different world empires, we can see how they match with these descriptions. Right? We can see how they match. Good, Joe.
Now, if they only match, it's not ever stated biblically.
No.
Where
nope. Mm-hmm. Any questions so far? No? All right. Under that graph on 247, it says Daniel identifies. So Daniel identifies the 10 toes and 10 horns as 10 kings in Daniel 2:44 and 7:24. Many prophecy students hold up the 10 toes and 10 horns represent 10 nations that will emerge in the end times through 10 original powers that will encompass the entire world. But since the little horn in Daniel 7:8 clearly symbolizes a person, it is most consistent to interpret the other 10 horns as individuals as well. Yet we know from history that the Roman Empire never existed in a 10-king form. It was never ruled by 10 leaders. Moreover, both the great image and the final beast are completely and suddenly destroyed. By contrast, the historic Roman Empire gradually deteriorated in and declined until the western part of the empire fell in 476 AD. And the eastern leg was cut off in AD 1453. A more gradual process could hardly be imagined. This is not the sudden destruction of the feet and the image of Daniel 2:34, the 10-horned stage of the beast, Daniel 7:7, that Daniel predicted. This prophecy remains unfulfilled. It is better to interpret Daniel as picturing both the Roman Empire of history, but also with the Roman Empire of end times, or that we might call Rome too. Notice the parallels between Daniel 2 and 7, especially in the final phase of the Roman Empire. So again, on page 248, he has another graph that shows the comparisons of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. Again, two different times. There's years apart on these two visions, but they're the same thing. They're the same thing. All right, so this is the stance that we take here at the Way Church, is we interpret the future with the past in mind. Okay, that's how we do it. The principal reason, so on 248, under interpreting future and light past, the principal reason for believing in the revival of ancient Rome Empire is a simple fact that Daniel's prophecy hasn't been completely fulfilled. For those who believe the Bible, the prophecies about the future are just as literal as prophecies already fulfilled in history. Daniel's prophecies about the four world empires were literally fulfilled, but one final phase of the fourth empire is still awaiting fulfillment. The final stage of the Roman Empire, as Daniel envisioned, it has yet to appear on the stage of the world history. It will emerge prior to the second coming of Christ. So that's when it will happen. The second coming is not the rapture. Okay, we have to understand that also. Sometimes people use the second coming as the rapture. The second coming is not the rapture. The second coming is when Christ comes down to the earth. Okay, after the seven-year tribulation. Good, Jim.
No, I'm sorry, we were dealing with those a little bit. I missed if this author states that what you just said in this paragraph there, or anywhere in the book for that matter. Does he ever state that the rapture is not the second coming of Christ?
Yeah, he does, okay. Yes. But he fills that on the rapture part, which we didn't cover.
Yeah, I just wanted to verify that he did express that.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, so Revelation 13 and 17, we see the 10 kings symbolized by 10 horns, as mentioned in conjunction with the revival of Roman Empire in Revelation 13, 17, 12, and 13. This future manifestation will be a confederation of 10 world leaders and will encompass the same basic geography as the ancient Roman Empire. This final Roman Empire will evidently begin as some form of republic, then progress to a dictatorship following the pattern of historic Roman Empire. In previewing both the historic Roman Empire and future one, Daniel skips the intervening centuries, moving from historical Rome to end times prophecy. This prophetic skip is consistent with a pattern in other Old Testament prophecy. Prophecy from Old Testament will frequently detail events that are prophetically fulfilled up to and including the first coming of Christ. Then it will skip to end times prophecy describing the Great Tribulation and the events that culminate here. And so the sections of scripture he uses talk about Christ coming as a babe, right? He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. The government will be upon his shoulders. So that happened. That prophecy was fulfilled when Christ came the first time. And then in Zechariah 9, that's fulfilling when he comes the second time, when he comes down to rule and reign, right? Physically. So when we say that we believe, now I'm going to throw out some jargon at you that you might not have ever heard of, but an amillennial, which the first century, the first group of Calvinists, when Augustine, the Catholic Church, when they came out with their view of end times, the Catholic Church is big on an amillennial view. Okay, Augustine came from a Catholic background when he started Calvinism. We say Calvinism, John Calvin took Augustine's teaching and really set it afire. But there's a lot of holes in it. A lot, so they've had to change. So the Calvinists today, the new Calvinists of today, will believe end time stuff like how we believe. They've denied their history of an amillennial view, which means this. that Christ is ruling and reigning right now from heaven. So that would be a different view of our view of Zechariah 9. When it says that Christ comes down to rule and reign, we believe it'll be a physical, literal coming down. Amillennial view does not believe that. So a Catholic people don't believe in what we will believe, Christ physically ruling and reigning. Okay, Augustine didn't believe that. Make sense? So that view is a big view. Okay, it's allegorical. So they might not use the language amillennial, but when they say, well, Christ is ruling now, those things are fulfilled now. No, it's not. It's not fulfilled now. That's coming up. All right. Any questions so far up to what we covered? Clear as mud? So just after today's read-through, and this is actually pretty light, okay, what have you guys noticed so far about an end-time study? What have you guys noticed so far? What information have you gathered?
Well, one thing that he talked about Rome was going to be, you know, like put down, boom, bam, right? And then, but the people who were saying that that already happened and blah, 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 it came undone over the course of time. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I knew that it had come undone over the course of time, but this shows that is a different event. Mm-hmm. And so, very wise people have figured this out. And that was interesting how it's the same verbiage that the Rome was destroyed, but not the same Rome.
Right. And you notice too, the more and more we'll study, the more and more you can see people like Paul and Peter and James and John spent really no time on this topic. We see it a little bit in Corinthians on the judgment seat of Christ, which is not in the Old Testament. Rapture's not in the Old Testament. We see a little bit in Thessalonians on end time stuff, and it's because they were confused about some events. Other than that, Paul doesn't talk about end time stuff. Peter doesn't talk about end time stuff. A little bit here and there. But the focus is on what are we doing for Christ now. That'll take care of itself. It can happen, but we won't be here. Their focus wasn't on. That's why it's stronger for me to have a pre-tribulation view. The church will get raptured before the seventh tribulation. I think that if the church was going to go through the tribulation period, more teaching would have been on what's going to happen in the tribulation and what we should do as a church body.
That would make tons of sense because Paul thought it was coming. Paul thought Christ was coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now. Like, he was ready for it any second. And because of Paul's love for the church body, I absolutely would agree with you that he would have been preparing them for those sort of tribulations if he thought that was what they were going to face. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yep. And it wasn't until Revelation was written and Paul had been dead for about 30 years that John writes about Revelation. Right? The Old Testament prophecies, they're not clear. It says that he had an everlasting kingdom. John, isn't until John writes it, it's 1,000 years. That everlasting isn't everlasting, quote unquote. It's 1,000 years. That doesn't come clear until 90-some A.D., right? So even that in and of itself is a huge fact to know. The focus starts to shift a little bit when John writes it because it's knowing that it's going to be for a different group of people. Anyways, we'll get to there in a little bit. So we're seeing how much work is involved, right? There's a lot of work involved studying end-time stuff, and you have to immerse yourself in the Old Testament with this perspective. End times, Christ coming, nation of Israel, promises kept, nation of Israel, covenants fulfilled, Israel, Israel, Israel. Not Christians in America. Not Christians in Europe. Not Christians in Africa. Okay, not China, having nuclear power. Not China invading Taiwan. Not Russia invading Ukraine. Nope. Israel, Israel, Israel. Nick, go ahead, Joe.
So two things that I noticed is on the note that you just gave, I think a lot of Christians tend to want to take the identity of Israel, especially in the end times. I don't know why that is, but it's something that's very curious to me. And then secondly, I've noticed in reading with this book especially, that there's a big difference between matching things to history with scripture versus jumping to conclusions about what we're seeing in scripture.
Yep, excellent perspective. Judy, will you pray for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, for the richness of it, and how we can glean all sorts of details, and you want us to understand it. So we thank you for Pastor Jesse and others who are have the gift of teaching, and or not, but anyway, and it enlightens us, and we look forward to your coming, and we do know that these things are helpful to know, especially as we can share them with other people who might have concerns and don't understand it. So thank you that we have this time now to really learn from your word and really be grounded in it. Thank you for everyone who's come, and I pray that others will make it here safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.